live from Nissa's. Oh dear, shouldn't make yourself laugh. Live from Nissa's bedroom, here on a partially dissolved TARDIS, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, mind-botheringly. The only Happy Christmas, VP. I can't even say VT.
Happy Christmas, Kamala Harris.
Fuck, maybe we have to try again. Live from Nissa's bedroom, here on a partially dissolved TARDIS, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, mind-botheringly. The only Doctor Who podcast to be made by three lepers taking their garmat for a tinkle, and joining me to exclaim, "Thank God for Goddard," is a sobbing Tom Neenan and a bawling John Wayne, because we have to wave goodbye to Nissa and gently give a middle finger to Terminus. I'm Paul Litchard, and joining me to wade through the second of our Black Guardian trilogy is Mr. Tom Neenan and Mr. John Wayne.
Hello.
But why, oh why, oh why, oh why would you be watching Doctor Who when you could be, of course, be feeding your soul with BBC One on Tuesday the 15th of February 1983. We're going in order, aren't we, chaps?
Yeah.
Four, and now we're carrying on. So now it's the 15th of Feb. It's day after Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's, Valentine dial. Valentine's.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
See, I couldn't open my door this morning.
Oh, really? Why couldn't you open your door, Alan?
Lost my key.
Oh!
Which doesn't make any sense, because no.
You don't need a...
No, you don't need one. BBC One. Programmes began at a lovely crisp 6:30 a.m. with breakfast time. Of course they did.
Of course they did.
And then straight into For Schools and Colleges at 9 a.m. Courses included etching, surgery, the walrus, and maths.
I'm so sorry, Bert.
And then it was some sort of news and Pebble Mill at whatever.
Okay.
And then at 2 p.m, oh God, it was you and me. Cosmo!
Dibs! Cosmo, I got a girl in the trouble.
I don't know what to do.
I warned you about this. I don't know what to do.
Just to go to clinic and stay overnight.
She said she was on the pill.
Big furry animated pill.
Yeah,
bring me into it.
Be John Lydon, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with me.
Move on.
Wouldn't know anything about that.
No. You and Me has got a write-up, but it's riddled with typos. So this is what the write-up for You and Me is verbatim.
Yep.
Okay, You and Me. Here comes the Ifwakum. Norman Beef Pippi of Empire Radis comes to teat it.
Is that near where you live? Is it Ilfracombe?
Have you not been to Beef Pippi?
Can I ask a question, Paul?
Please do.
In terms of protocol, what goes on with the tea tit? Is it cream or bun?
The
eternal question.
Well, Dawn French would say that it's jam first, then cream on your tea tit.
Yes.
But I, of course, go the other way around.
This is very...
So it's cream, then jam.
I like that we've gone very morning radio. I feel like I should be really close to the mic and be like, okay, so we want to hear what you do. Do you do the jam or do you do the cream first?
Is there anyone from Ifwakum or maybe Beef Pippi who's got an opinion on this? We'd really like to hear from you. In the meanwhile, run rig with the weather. Weirdly,
it gonna rain.
That was the run rig impression, everyone.
Who was
that? Was
run
everyone
rig?
In run rig? It gonna rain. They're a Scottish band. I think they are.
It's going to rain.
There you go. It's going to rain.
It's got a push down. It's going push down. Hey. What?
Let's just hear it again. Here comes the Ifwakun. Norman Beef Pippi of Empire Radis comes to teat it.
Empire Radis sounds like a Doctor Who planet.
Empire doesn't Radis. It? The Empire Radis is here.
What's the guy's name again?
Beef Pippi.
Beef Pippi.
Norman Beef Pippi.
Now, that sounds like every young post on Twitter I've ever read. Oh, no. Beef Pippi split up with Blue Radis.
Norman Beef Pippi of Empire...
Norman Beef Pippi!
It's not Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Radis.
Empire Radis.
Radis. It is Empire such a Doctor Who name, isn't it? Radis.
Yeah.
Empire Radis. Yeah.
Radis! You know that the chamber's unsafe!
Radis!
Yeah. Radis, you can't!
We must overthrow the clan.
There's no need for that.
Yeah. You know that Beef Pippi will be angry. I am the Beef Pippi. Feel the pips from my beef. Pips coming out of beef.
No, thank you.
Thank you, You and Me. Luckily, at 3 p.m. after You and Me, was Rudyard Kipling lived here. Oh. Kingsley Amis visits Kipling's home in Burwash, Sussex.
But he makes exceedingly good cakes.
good novels.
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, then you are Highlander.
Nice. That's very good, Tom. Is that an old joke or have you
made that
up?
Is an old joke.
There can be only one documentary about Rudyard Kipling. Terrible racist over Rudyard Kipling, I'm afraid. Terrible racist.
Different time.
Yeah, really racist time.
People had that for their hobbies.
Yes, that's true.
I like motoring, hunting, and racism.
And casual racism.
I believe that that Highland joke may even have come from Ed Gamble.
Really?
That's a vintage Ed Gamble joke.
Hey, are you saying that joke was off menu?
Oh, hello. All right. Okay, I'm here with John Lane and Paul Litchfield. So
they had Finn Wolfhard on the other day.
They did. They're mates.
Did they?
I don't know why he brought his condoms with him.
Well, we had Finn Wolfhard with Mordred Undead, but he hasn't seen it, so he just stayed quietly in the corner, didn't he?
Fucking idiot. Yeah. That's why we invited him. It cost us 10 grand.
£1,000 of your patron money.
Yeah.
Finn Wolfhard, I said, as I kicked him out, I said, more like flipper dog soft.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Finally, someone said it.
Jesus.
John's
entertained himself again. Oh, dear. After Rudyard Kipling lived here was Jack and Ori.
Jack and Ori.
It's a classic tale of Cinderella read by lovely Jan Francis.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, the lovely Jan Francis.
Is that Jan Francis from Lovejoy?
It's Jan Francis from Lovejoy.
Oh, Lady Jane.
Lady Jane. Oh. She was replaced later on, wasn't she, with some slag.
Some fucking bint.
Lady Slag.
Sam Fox.
Who lived in Ghastly Grange?
Yeah.
There is a clip somewhere. Have you seen Sam Fox when she was she was running a bar and she was wearing it was on Halloween and she was dressed as the devil.
I've seen this.
Have you seen this? She's trying to get her cape off and her cape's on her head and she spends like 20 minutes trying to be cool and trying to get the cape off her head. It's well worth watching.
Oh, Sam.
Sam.
Well, people may say what they want about Sam Fox. In fact, some people say she's had a couple of knockers. Speaking of filth, Animal Magic was on after 20. Yeah, Johnny. Johnny asks this. Why does your cat rub itself against your legs? Johnny, don't do the voices.
Yeah, Johnny, I really like fucking your legs.
That's a young kitten's voice he does, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
I don't mind rubbing my furry little cock against your legs, Johnny.
We can't use any of this.
Johnny, get out of the studio.
Just turn the mics off.
Yeah.
They've got Terry Nutkin's finger in the cigarette and the cigar cutter again. He loses another finger.
That's probably what Compo's got in his matchbox.
Terry Nutkin's finger. He's constantly giving the middle finger.
Yeah.
Harold's a different thing, but fuck it.
Yeah.
That's what was in his matchbox. Harold! When he opened it, it wasn't.
Is that in Four Rooms? Have you seen Four Rooms?
Yes. Tim Roth gets his finger cut off.
Yeah.
Funny old film, that one.
Yeah.
But rubbish. Curate's egg. Might be rubbish. Might be Four Rooms of Rubbish.
Yeah. I think I've only ever seen the Tarantino bit where he gets his finger cut off.
Oh, it's him that gets his finger. Or is it Tim Roth who gets his finger? I can't remember.
Tim Roth does the cutting. I can't remember who gets his finger cut off. But yeah.
Don't know.
Who cares?
Is it?
John Craven.
Yeah.
He's a guest.
I'd prefer it if it was a golf-based film and it was about a man trying to play through a hotel.
Right.
And it's called Four Rooms.
And he's playing.
And he's walking to someone's suite and saying, I'm sorry, I have to play this where the ball lays. And it's on on his wife's tit.
Right. That's Animal Magic.
I'm banging out film ideas.
Yeah.
And they're all green lit as far as I'm concerned.
I'm reclining. It might give a different... Look at this. Look how loose... I don't like it. It's a bit too...
This doesn't suit you at all.
No.
And your chair's too low.
Sorry, you can hear my chair squeal. That's what I was trying to avoid.
By the way, this is our 101st episode, so we're still allowed to be a bit loose.
We'll allow ourselves that.
But it's the regular sort of wheezing groaning that you patrons have come to love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. After Animal Magic was Grange Hill. 10 past 5. Is it dan da dan dan?
No, this is early 80s.
It's still
A video for the benefit of everybody.
We can put this on Patreon.
It's live as it happens.
Like we're recording, but there's the episode now.
What? How is that possible?
No, it's all getting very metaverse.
Yeah. When it was Grange Hill. The 90s when it became dan da dan.
Oh, was it 90s?
Dan,
yeah. 90s. Okay. It says here Denny tries to turn over a new leaf.
Me recording the video of them.
Okay. John, in Grange Hill, who's Denny?
Denny.
You know? Denny.
Denny.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Wasn't Denny in Crossroads?
Yeah, Denny
from Crossroads. Yeah. Yeah, forgot his lunch money. Yeah. after Grange Hill was the news. Yep. And then at 5 to 7, Doctor Who.
Oh.
Terminus. There is a write-up for you, Tom.
Thank you.
It goes thusly. Mm-hmm. Turlough sabotages the TARDIS,
yes,
causing it to fuse with a space station called Terminus.
Matthew Paris's favourite episode.
Trying to separate the two,
yeah,
the Doctor encounters a couple of space pirates.
Ooh!
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Are they pirates?
Well, no, they are, because they're trying to break into the ship.
They're like
to get
salvagers, aren't they?
Pirates.
Tell you how I first found out about Terminus.
Go on. Mm.
I was watching Movies, Games and Videos with Steve Priestley.
Movies, Games and Videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And because they used to be like, either the VHS release is coming out this week, and it would be like, and Doctor Who visits a little space station called Terminus. So, yeah, which is very strange. So obviously that was long after the, broadcast. But yeah. Steve Priestley really gave it the hard sell. So I bought that one.
Thank you, Steve Priestley.
Yeah,
I'd wager that Tom wouldn't be sitting here now.
Yeah.
True.
If he hadn't done that, Steve Priestley.
Hmm? Mm. Mainly because he wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
No point in being here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Them's the facts.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit later was Vox Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Vox Pop. This time the Radio Times hasn't even bothered. They just go, who'd be saying what about whom this week? They just don't give a shit now.
Yeah.
Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy.
I tell you what, I watched an episode of Vox Pops. Shit Pops, more like. Load of fucking rubbish. Just people whinging. How hot did I shag like my crack could?
I don't remember, don't slag off stuff. No shit. I don't know shit.
I watched Points of View the other day with Barry Took. Well, Points of View, Points of Poo. That's what
like,
I say.
More like Barry Bad Take.
Yeah, and I don't care what anyone's got to think, actually.
Oh.
I only care what I've got to think.
About 24 hours ago, I ate some food, and recently I passed it out of my lower intestine. It
my anus
shit.
Was shouting. My anus was shouting into the toilet.
What Sonia from EastEnders should have done is adopted the Tom Neenan approach.
Right.
Like, I love it all.
I love it all.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it all. Yeah.
I love your
that
shit.
Is, Tom's very much like Batfink. I love it all. Is his wings of steel.
Yes.
I'm more like, I like to think myself like Shaggy. Like, so they go.
You didn't do it.
Yeah, well, I go, yeah. I love it all.
Oh, right.
But what about this thing?
I love it all. That's good.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to live your life, actually.
Then the doctor
all.
Went here.
Yeah.
I love it all.
Even Bo Selecta, I love it all.
You love Bo Selecta.
I love it all.
That's problematic.
Tom, did you see what happened in the news in Baltimore? That ship just crashed into a bridge.
I love it all. It's a policy that has got me into trouble occasionally.
Yeah, it can do. Yeah. I love it all in Baltimore.
Yeah.
After Vox Pop, it's 10 to 8. It's time for Terry and June.
Oh,
what?
Oh, Mr. Mempois is coming back.
June the Spice.
This episode is simply called Strictly Off the Record.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, it's going
to
be
good. That's where he has to dance with her.
Right. What, Mr. Mempois's wife?
Yeah.
Mr. Mempois's wife, but also make sure he doesn't stand on his record collection.
Something like that. Mm. Then I see here, Medford, I've got all my records out on the carpet and I'm cleaning them individually with a toothbrush. The last thing I want to do is dance with Mrs. Mempois because she has a club foot. A bit later on. Yeah.
But he's actually danced so nimbly.
Yeah, he's cleaned it. Yeah.
Oh.
And he's made them into CDs. Yes.
Is it the kind of one that would like.
Was like, what fucking hell is this? And he puts one on, he's like, I love it.
Here's your promotion.
Yeah.
It ends with them dancing to like some sort of hip hop.
Yeah, because Terry and June, because there are two types of sitcoms, aren't there? There's one where it's like, look after my record collection, and then like you say, clean them, and it's all wonderful.
Yeah.
But then the last scene would be him turning, and then them all cascading to the ground and smashing.
Yes.
And he'd be like, no!
All landing on a vicar's head or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know how, like, only
chopping him in half, like in The Omen.
Yeah. In that Only Fools and Horses episode where they're about to be 9/11, and you're like, well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
the satellite.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, there's no way they're going to die. But because the thing cuts away at that moment, everything's fine. Because they'll be back next week. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did read something the other day that the writer of the original Terry and June pilot, because it was called, like, Happily Ever After.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
He literally did, I think, I'm right in saying, he didn't want to write the series because he said, it, I've literally done all the jokes I could do about the situation.
Really?
And it ran for like 15 years.
Hang on, what's the situation?
And on and on.
A married couple.
Yes, it's the same situation pretty much every episode where Terry's boss or someone that works around has to come round and there's and chaos ensues.
Right.
Apart from the one where they both get locked in the belfry.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's like a 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah, and Ever Decreasing Circles did that in an attic as
Got
well.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Oh.
Completely false.
Is that the one where June files for divorce at the end?
this marriage melds into the hunchback of...
Right.
Not Notre Dame.
Not Notre Dame.
We're a Terry and June face, I don't know.
Hang on, which one's the bad one? Oh no, Terry Scott is the bad one. It's Arthur Mullard is the bad one, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think Terry Scott's a bad one because he was horrible.
Scott had a reputation just being a cantankerous little shit.
Oh no.
And also quite bottom pinchy and...
Oh, is it? Whereas like June... June is like absolute golden saint.
June.
I met June. June Whitfield, right?
Oh, I've met June Whitfield.
Yeah, yeah.
I've met Whitfield.
I've not met June
Whitfield.
Oh. No, sadly you won't now unless you do something morally ambiguous.
Unfunny Paddock.
Whitfield, you see.
Unfunny Paddock.
Sometimes they're long walks.
They're worth it. Always
you can
worth
sit
it.
Sit down and bathe in the view.
I've had my fun.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Anyway, that was BBC One because after Terry June, there was nothing remote.
You can't beat it.
No, you can't.
BBC One went well.
They should just play Terry and June for the rest of the day.
Yeah, Terry and June finished and they came in and literally the Director General was packing down the BBC. Nothing else we can do.
There's
nothing else. Yeah, we've done everything we can. BBC Two started at 6:05 with the Open University. Courses included.
BBC Two started at 6:05.
6:05.
Well done, BBC Two.
Yeah,
turning over a new leaf.
Yeah, because 4 weeks previously it began at 4:30 in the fucking afternoon. Jesus.
Yeah.
Mind you, it was the day after Valentine's Day, so maybe BBC Two had scored.
Yeah, well done.
The next day, innit? So BBC Two's in bed with, like...
Walk of Shame.
BBC Choice.
Yeah.
French bonuses, it's just possible you can save my life.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, yeah. 6:05, Open University courses included modern art, functions, chemistry, and risk management.
Oh.
Sorry, Bert. And then, of course, BBC Two makes up for what it did 4 weeks ago because then it closed down. And then it starts again at 5:10, so it had a really good kip.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it comes back with Priory School, a typical look at a day in a school in Weston-super-Mare.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Hard-hitting doc, isn't it? Mm. Be like, these kids are thugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weston-super-Mare.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 o'clock was the Bagthorpe Saga. A comedy series about an eccentric family with Angela Thorne and Dandy Nichols.
Oh,
okay.
She must
Angela Thorne
from
Don't Wait Up. Dandy Nichols, of course, from Yeah, he's steaming cow, I ate
because
everyone.
This was around the time of like In Sickness and Health, so she'd have been very frail and
she
old.
She would have been quite old then.
Based on the book series.
Based on the comedy books.
By Helen Creswell.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, the Bagthorpe Saga.
Mm.
We might be hearing a little bit more of them on another
show. Look forward to it.
After that was bloody Waltons again.
Fuck off, John Boy.
Drop dead, John Boy. Actually, go on a big spaceship that's half tits, half antlers.
Oh, yeah.
John Boy.
Yeah.
Which he did.
Did he?
That'll be on the stars.
Why don't you come back in the second part of a TV series of a Stephen King book and be really boring?
Yeah. Make sure your big mole's even bigger.
Oh, mole's disturbing.
Fucking, that's all I can look at.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck. It's on your fucking face, mate.
That's the it.
Yeah, that's the it.
His clown's got a name, you know.
That's basically, that should be a...
Yeah. A little stick coming into shot on Pokemon.
Yeah.
If I was Pennywise, I'd have been livid if they wrote a book about me called It.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, I've got a name, you know.
Yeah.
You never meet Pennywise's brother, do you, Pound Foolish? You never...
You never do.
Never turns up in the book.
Yeah. Or Uncle...
Uncle Savings...
And Auntie.
Yeah.
And you can fill in the rest. Yeah. The Waltons. It says here, based on the books by Spenseft Mountain.
Spenseft Mountain.
And Tog and Tog Catbleen Kite.
I've thought of a name for our son.
Tossed up between Spencroft Mountain or Toy Catbleen Kite.
Well, they're both pretty names.
Pretty names?
I love the typos. Ben-Clef I love Bouton. The genome typos. They're yeah. so
Do you think
brilliant.
What they did is they sort of, they fed all the pages into a computer thing and then sort of AI maybe sort of fixed some
it's
of the
like
stuff.
It's either that or ITV sneaking in and just changing it.
Yeah.
Or Channel 4 would have been. Oh, they're not on yet.
Yeah, there's an ITV saboteur in the system.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Great idea. Stephen Mulhern.
He's like, this will show him. Yeah. This will show him. Based on the books by Ben Seft Mountain and Toy Kapling Kite.
They're basically saying, if BBC, if we can't have a genome, no one can.
No.
Yeah. I wonder what Beef Pippi had to think about all that.
Probably still upset about what
he's yesterday's news, isn't he, old Beef Pippi? Mm. At 7:20 was the Science Fiction Film Festival. Yes.
Oh, hello. Oh,
with the Forbin Project.
I'll happily watch the Forbin Project.
The Forbin
God, I tell you what,
Project.
Bloody round my council yeah. is the bloody Forbin Project.
Sure. Yeah. So I only clean house once a month.
Yeah.
At home with Dusty and his family. Isn't
Thank you. I was thinking Maggie Forbin.
Oh, Maggie Forbin.
Oh, nice.
And she was created. Because she's science as well, isn't she? So
yeah.
She was developed in a test tube.
She was, yeah. She's the first person.
Test tube baby.
That's right.
Made from sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pure sexual chemistry.
Who would you want to match with if you were... You'd want to go with Keith Chegwin, wouldn't you?
What do you mean?
Keith Chegbin.
Chegbin.
And Maggie Forbin.
Maggie yes. Forbin.
Yeah. Maggie Forbade. Doesn't even make sense.
She's still alive, though.
Yeah, still alive. And still going strong. Good on her. And she's probably still very interested in science, I'd imagine.
I'd imagine she is.
She's always...
Do you think maybe her marriage to Keith was some sort of experiment?
I think so.
Because yeah, they did the brown sauce ban. That's an experiment.
What's the
I just want to be a winner. They had a single out called I Want to Be a Winner.
Did they?
Yeah, called Brown. Their band was called Brown Sauce.
Oh wow, okay.
It was them and Edmonds.
Wow. Ah. I still find the fact that Chegwin isn't with us slightly bamboozling.
Yeah.
He felt so, is it perennial?
I still think he's on Twitter stealing stuff.
Yeah.
Even though he's gone.
He was, it feels like only yesterday he had his little chap out.
Yeah, his little dick jungle. Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dick out stealing everyone's stuff. Being really right wing with Noel Edmonds.
Falling asleep in soup.
Yeah.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a drinking problem. Yeah, bless him.
Well, that's the famous Cheggers can't be boozers.
There you go.
Yeah. Luckily, a couple of croutons would always go up.
I would say, in the credit in his bank account,
right.
I would say that even though Life's Too Short was not for me at all,
right.
I thought it was dreadful.
Oh, hello. Joanna Page is back.
The bits where he's Chegwin, Barry from EastEnders, and Les Dennis's agent, they were always good value.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They were always very good.
I think I've worked with, I don't remember Life's Too Short, but is that Steve Brody? Did he play Keith Chegwin's agent?
The barber from Amanda, you know.
Yeah.
Barber from Snow.
Right, okay.
Maybe. No, he was the accountant, I think.
Oh, he was. He was his accountant.
Yeah, Warwick Davis was their agent.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. There's a really funny bit, I think, where he talks about... something about tax or whatever, and he says, well, yeah, it's 17%. He's like, no, it hasn't been 70% in like 20 years. And he just looks up at all of these files that he's been working on and goes, oh no. It's really great. I love Steve Brode.
Yeah, you know, he's great. He was David Brent's agent.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah. It's fantastic.
There we go.
That was your beer. Sorry.
Now, 9 p.m. I know he's not your favourite, John. I know he's not your favourite Russell Harty at 9 p.m.
I'd hate him.
Yeah, but look who he's got on tonight. Look who he's got on tonight. God. Russell meets the Muppets.
What?
And some creatures from the Dark Crystal. He's going to just have a little word with Ogre.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Harty!
He's going to...
Not Harty!
That's the whole interview.
You can tell what they've done. Russell they've Harty. Gone...
Party!
We want to promote the Dark Crystal, and they've gone, no one knows who those characters are.
Yeah.
And they've gone, oh, okay, we're slinging the Muppets. Which is so weird, because I did a little work with the Muppets when I was a runner. There was
Hello.
And what's strange is...
What'd you do?
I was just a runner.
On
like,
what?
On, it was on the National Television Awards. They turned up on something.
Okay. You weren't ever alone in a room with one and they asked you for favours.
I wasn't. But it's weird that occasionally, I'm guessing at that stage in the 70s, that'd be Frank Oz.
Yeah.
Kneeling down, you'd be like, can we interview Frank Oz?
Yeah, why can't we just interview Frank?
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy.
You think Jim Henson ever had a wag with Kermit's mouth?
Oh, no. Oh.
Because he might have thought to himself, I'm not going to live forever. I might be on my deathbed.
I'm not going to live forever. Look at the shape of Gonzo's nose.
Wasn't Jim Henson making loads of really weird, like, Dali-esque short films, like, in his youth? Where probably he was doing stuff like that, sort of in an artistic experiment kind of way. He's, like, painting elephants pink and, like,
That's very good. He used to have a really good book about his early stuff. It's very good.
Yeah. There was a great documentary, actually, which was By the Muppets. They're going to celebrate their good friend Jim Henson. Aww. And it's kind of this documentary is made, and then at the end they find out that he's Jim Henson's died, and it's genuinely like...
Yeah. Oh, my
God.
They're
all really upset.
Yeah.
And the Muppets are crying little fuzzy felt tears.
Yeah. It is incredible. Like, Harry Belafonte turns up. I wish I could find that documentary. God, it's so good.
That's so fucking bleak.
Jesus.
It's Harry Belafonte who tells them.
Yeah.
They say, Harry, we can't wait for you to come and meet Jim. And
oh, my God.
I'm afraid I just killed him.
But do they quite often would tread, like Mr. Snuffleupagus, no one ever saw him, so he's sort of questioning his own being.
Oh, yeah. They stopped that.
They did.
Because they said...
Yeah, because it's fucking abject. Like, nihilism meets... Yeah. You know.
They also stopped the count from murdering virgins. bit rum.
Yeah.
I used to find the Heffalopapapapus, what he was called.
Mr. Staphylococcus.
I used to find him quite disturbing.
He was. Well, they said to stop because apparently it was, they had like a children's rights group that said that it's not good that you have like an imaginary friend because like...
He's being ignored and not believed.
Like, it's because like bad people might sort of go, this is our little secret, this, so don't tell anyone, they won't understand. And so people like that, it's not great. So so then Snuffleupagus started turning up and being seen by people.
Oh, of course, And then he was shaved and
shot. Oh, bird.
That was him, wasn't it?
No.
There's a good documentary about the Big Bird Man and the cows.
Yes, I've seen the Big Bird Man.
Yeah,
it's good, that
the
one.
The Big Bird Man.
And the way he worked it is, I don't mean kind of...
I mean, no diggity.
All his sass.
The way he literally puppeted Big Bird is... baffling.
Yeah,
because he had one was the thing, and then one was a there must be really hard. They must all have been like, all these men who are in their like 60s must be contorted out of all recognition.
They must all have spina bifida. Oh, no.
Curvature of the back.
Yeah.
Because of that. I mean, Frank Oz spent most of his time lying on his back rolled in weird positions.
Before he did the Muppets.
Yeah, that's just directing Marlon Brando.
That was just his yoga video.
The Brando story where Brando said he didn't want it to be a long shot.
Right.
And Frank Oz was like, I'm sorry, it's going to be a long shot. He said, I want it in close up. And Frank Oz was like, well, I'm sorry, we're going to, you know. And then when Brando came to set, he was wearing no trousers. So he had to do it as a close up.
Brando.
That was, was it The Score?
Yeah.
That film, The Score?
Edward Norton, Marlon Brando, and Robert De Niro together at last.
Yeah, wow. There was a lot of acting
for
in
the
that
first
film.
Time together.
Mm.
Jesus H.
Look what they've done to my Robert De Niro. I'm not going to wear any pants in this.
Whatever.
Clean it yourself, you fat bastard. That was Mrs. Huggett.
That's very good. After Rush Hour Hard Drive, at 10:15 was Arena. And it's a jazz jukebox special with George Melly.
Oh.
Do you remember George Melly?
Melly on the telly. Yeah, lovely.
He was always in a big... He was always like a sort of French colonel.
Flamboyant man,
yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Big fat guy, and he was like... I'm sure he sort of talked like that.
Yeah.
A bit like Jameson.
I read The Stow. He went to Stow.
Oh, it was all like that, was it?
And, I remember him... Yeah, because he had an eye patch, didn't he? Didn't he have an eye patch?
iPad.
An iPad. iPad Mini.
But he did use it as an eye patch.
So, yeah.
You know,
I think he had an eye patch towards the end of his life because he sort of looked a bit like a very big
he looked like
John Sargent.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah. He did look like he would have champagne and gravy for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what he would put on his cornflakes.
Yeah.
And he would always be dancing. He'd always be like talking about things like, songs like, she was a big, big balloon boob.
big fat balloon boob.
Yeah.
Oh,
she had a big, fat balloon boob. She was a bear in the air with you. Sometimes the gays tried to pop her poop poop. And then she went home with a broom. That sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was jaw-droppingly odd.
Didn't we used to scat as well? Not I don't mean he had a coffee table.
Scooby dooby dop dop. Yeah, but all that. Scott by the boo and boo doo. All over my shoes. Sort of stuff. Yeah. Loved all that.
If you are interested in George Miller, do seek out Big Fat Balloon Boom.
On vinyl. Yeah. You have to hear vinyl. On vinyl. That's the only
very
way.
Very rare.
Yeah, yeah.
Might be fictional. Might not be. After Arena, it was time for Open University again.
Oh.
From 10 to 12 until 4 in the morning. Good Lord. Courses included reading, symbols, equations, and the highway code.
Oh!
Sorry, Bet.
What the two yellow lines mean, you've got to blow your nose.
Could you give yourself a reverse, inverse erection?
Bert. Poor Bert, like, with his little highlighter out, wanting to circle whatever's coming up.
I'm upset on his behalf.
Yeah.
Anyway, why? Why?
Why?
You could be watching all this when you could be watching the second of the trilogy of the Black Guardian Tales. We begin in media res.
Hey!
Oh, I never said it before.
Oh, wow.
It's normally Tom's purview. Yeah. Turlo is having a chat to the Black Guardian. He's going, you were sabotaged the TARDIS. You have failed me once, you shit.
I love these little in TARDIS corridor bit. You know, obviously they've just got two bits of set that they've like put up against each other. But I like it. I think it makes it feel like the TARDIS feel like deep and like a cavernous kind of
I always love it when they leave the central control room. It's always fun.
Yeah.
The round doors always look beautiful.
I was going to say, there's a moment in one of these episodes, I can't remember if it's this or in
some round door action.
Where they put an orange light behind the round door.
Isn't it lovely? I wrote, it's the Tuscan summer house TARDIS.
Yeah.
It's got a lovely sunset going on. So the Doctor has sort of accepted Turlo in. Tegan is having none of it.
She does not trust him.
No.
She actually accuses him of being a smarmy little lying shit, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. Oh, yeah, I said, yeah, we get a bit of hot Randall action.
Yeah.
Oh, so it is this one.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Turlo is given Adric's room. Smelling a cum and maths.
And he bins it. There's lots of props, isn't there, from old things. So there's like the face from the Visitation, and there's a little Kinder sort of necklace.
Yes.
Crusty sock.
Yeah.
Hey!
Trusty sock next to a picture of Carol Vorden. Because she likes maths. So.
She loves maths. Maths debating.
Nice.
Oh,
eat like two from the top.
And then the other three.
So to sabotage the TARDIS, Black Guardian tells Turlo to remove the space-time element.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Which feels essential.
Which is sort of like probably
vital. And he knows exactly what that is, by the way.
He opens
the flap.
He has a little flap under the thing and just basically rips it all out.
Yeah.
Silly sod. As a cause and effect, the TARDIS starts to dissolve.
Yeah,
that's weird. Sections of it are dissolving, which is kind of a fun idea, but special effects are shit.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
That's fine.
It's all fine.
This was 1982?
Yeah. It's all because of dimensional instability.
I don't exist.
Now, and I still don't understand why a skull door appears.
I don't get it.
Why?
It's like a fun fair. Like you're going to go into like one of those.
I don't know why
things that wobbles about.
Yeah, it's weird. And it appears in Nissa's room.
Skull door.
There you go. Nissa's doing some experiments.
Yep.
She's got a little petri dish out, pipettes and a Bunsen burner and some lovely fluorescent liquid in a tube.
There is a thing she should have read on there because it says if you do this too much, your skirt will fall down.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Spoilers.
So the TARDIS is dissolving. A skull door appears in Nissa's room. Nissa's trapped there. The Doctor just goes, just go through the door.
Yeah. Let's find out, isn't it?
Fuck that. And go through the door. Okay, so she does, and she's on board a ship. The ship before was like crossroads in space, muted carpets and beautiful mauve and beige. This one is a very stark grey.
Oh, it's very cold.
Horrible cold place.
It made me think of, the episode with Martin Jarvis as the evil man.
All the best.
Vengeance on Varos. It's very sort of, it's just very grey and very sort
now
of
what's happened is because the TARDIS was dissolving, its failsafe has clicked in and it's automatically attached itself to the nearest living element, which in this case is a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But I still don't... I don't know if the TARDIS has created the door or not, or whether that's been created by the Black Guardian or not, or whether it's been... It just never is really...
No.
...bedded in. Anyway, Nyssa goes through it. The Doctor then follows her, does a brilliant thing where he wedges the door open, which is reverse.
Yeah.
So they pulled a door out of a wedge thing and then reversed it. So it looks like the Doctor's thrown it in. Which is really funny.
Yeah.
Have you seen that clip of those kids? They're running towards the front door and one of them gets in first and the other one throws his jumper. And it just gets in the door and stops it from closing properly. And it's a really good bit of, like, you know, brotherly ninja stuff.
Oh, nice. Mm. Nice. Yeah. Anyway, Tegan and Turlough follow.
Mm.
And then the door closes.
Yep.
Sure. They're all now, it's now a case of let's separate everyone.
Yeah.
Because for episode 1 and 2, poor Turlough and Tegan are just down in like some vent under the floor.
Yeah.
For 2 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Just scrabbling around doing sweet FA.
And because the vent, I think, is in a different studio, it's on film. So they go and be in film for a bit.
They get to be Die Python Hard sketch. For a bit.
Yeah.
And these people come out, don't they? These sort of.
Well, first of all, we hear through the ship, and you're like, what could that be? Yeah. I hope that's going to be something really scary. Don't worry, it won't.
Fucking Paul Shane.
So yes, and now they're all separated, and they hear a strange howling through a ship. Meanwhile, the ship is actually on a course to dock with a huge space station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but before that happens, a huge hole is blown in the side of the cruise ship, and enter 2 space pirates. Thank God for Goddard. And actually, the other guy's pretty good.
Yeah, I like him.
I really like him.
I've seen it criticised, the way he delivers the final line of this story.
I love it.
I think he's selling it.
I think he's really selling it.
Yeah, he's obviously been told to say that.
Yeah.
It's not a decision.
Yeah.
They're sort of space pirates, but they're sort of raiders. Like, they just sort of like find like craft and they strip it down. They're space raiders. Yeah.
Pickled Onion Flavor. The space raiders.
His name's Beef. She's called Pickled Onion.
That's it.
Fighting with Daleks.
There used to be little comic books on the back of Space Raiders.
They did. Yeah. I remember that. It was great. You can still buy them in Poundland.
And you know what? One of them looked like a wolf.
It did.
I wonder if it's been inspired by this.
No. Wolf.
No.
Wasn't it Space Raiders in the Fab Lollies when you could buy a Fab Lolly and it had little art cards of Patrick Troughton and the Space Raiders battling with Daleks?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Cheese flavour was abhorrent.
Oh, I liked the cheese.
No, I like the spicy mad one.
Spicy ones were nice.
Spicy ones.
You can only get beef or pickled onion now.
Yeah, that's no good.
And they used anyway.
Crisp talk.
You just reminded me that whilst it's when Colin Baker took over,
ran
a series of Doctor Who comics.
Whoa!
That you could buy. Well, if you bought a multi-pack of whilst it's, it used to come with a little mini comic book of Colin Baker's adventure.
The stank of cheese. God. Oh, what's that
Doctor
smell?
Stinky cheese adventures.
It's my comic book.
It used to be him coming out of the toilet going, let's give 5 minutes. I think too many whilst it's.
Sounds like someone farted through a trackle of E down in there. So these 2 space raiders with gloriously backcombed hair.
Yeah.
Looking very... I fell in love with a starship trooper. Looking very much like that.
Yeah.
They're looking for... not booty as in that booty, but booty.
Yeah.
Their helmets look like...
Beautiful helmets.
A glass blower has made a pair of balls. So
they're beautiful, aren't they? Beautiful.
They're very odd shape.
Bollocks.
Very odd. Yeah.
Beautiful. Huge and unwieldy. And then suddenly all the doors start opening and then all these sort of like... turns out they're lepers, everyone.
Mm.
Start sort of like automatically walking towards the airlock to leave.
Yeah.
And then Tegan hears Nyssa going, help me from behind a skull door.
Mm.
And she's like, we got to get it open, Turlough. Mm. And then Turlough sees all the lepers. He's like, fuck that, let's hide under the crate. But before that happens, the door comes slightly ajar and a horrible leppery old hand grabs into Tegan. She's like, fucking ripper. And it's like, oh God. And then suddenly all these scabby, bedraggled creatures start wandering around. End of episode 1.
And that's when the man shouts.
This is where all the Lazars come to die. We're all going to die.
And I would have said to him, lesbians, please.
Then he really goes for it. Going, we're all going to die. And the doctor looks terrified. Doctor's, and I'm like, no, this is great. This is exciting.
It's great fun.
Yeah.
It's great fun.
I think. Genuinely, balls on the table. I think it's a great story idea.
Yeah.
So do I.
Mm. Leper ship.
So far.
Yeah. That's the caveat, always.
Yeah. Yeah. So, episode two, turns out that the passengers are indeed called the Lazars.
Mm.
And they've come here to die on Terminus.
Mm.
Yes. Tegan and Turlo still hiding under a floor grate to avoid the lepers disembarking.
So that's two stories in a row about Dignitas, really.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Someone was going through something when they were commissioning these stories, I think.
Yeah. The Doctor, realising that they've docked, goes into the main computer room, not of the Terminus, but of the ship that's docked, and starts sort of plotting, doing proper sci-fi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the ship going? And realises one odd thing. Terminus is in the very centre of the galaxy, of the known galaxy. Nyssa, by the way, starts feeling a bit wan. A little bit dizzy and wan.
She's not having a nice time.
We don't know why yet, but she's feeling a bit wan. The Doctor also realises that all these people, the Lazars, are coming to Terminus for the cure, but nobody ever leaves. Why could that be? And yes, exact centre of the universe, etc. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Turlo and Tegan upskirt a guard, which is hilarious. Because they're in a vent, and one of the guards... John, tell us about the guards' uniforms. Unworkable?
Unworkable.
Bit daft.
They make a horrible sort of rattly clanky noise going through, which is disconcerting.
It's sort of meant to represent like the...
they sort of look a bit shogun-y.
Yeah. Like kind of the musculature of the body, isn't it? It's all about decay and so it's all like the muscles.
And it's sort of Greek or Roman armour thing going on.
Yeah.
Who's that bloke, the Bodyworks guy, used to wear the hat and I am an artist.
Oh, yeah, the doctor thingy bobby.
Yeah, yes. Like that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we get quite a tiny clip of one of the guards because at this point we've not seen them with their helmets off.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, are they going to be human or what? I didn't really know. But you see one of them and he crosses into what looks like a forbidden-y zone that's got some sort of like yellow and black
warning tape.
Like,
yeah.
Just put on the floor.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And he walks through it and they're like, you shouldn't go in there, that's the naughty bit. And he's like, I need to go in the naughty bit and I'm off. And they go, oh, well, you shouldn't. And then he does and you don't really know what that means. Meanwhile, there's a lovely... Oh, Tegan and Turlo find this stupid fucking robot. It just looks like it's made with like chopsticks and protractors. It's
the
most pathetic little... thing. They're like, oh, God. You could just flick that over with your thumb. But anyway, they see that. And then the doctor goes, look, there's a big central computer here, which is a big globe.
Yeah.
And suddenly it comes into life. It goes, sterilization stage one will begin.
And it sounds exactly... like David Mitchell.
It does. You stupid bloody woman!
Oh, thanks, Jeremy.
Oh, no, David Mitchell.
Now I'm going to have to de-sterilise everything.
Three assistants, Doctor.
That's insane.
Yeah. The Doctor goes, oh, this might not be good, sterilisation. So says to Nyssa, won't you pop back to the TARDIS if you're feeling ill?
Mm.
And she does, but she gets lost. In fact, she gets grabbed by the droid. Bloop,
bloop, bloop, bloop, bloop, bloop, bloop, bloop.
Olver, who's Olver? Olver's Goddard's assistant.
Yeah.
Olver basically panics when he sees the guard grab Nyssa and just leaves her to her fate, just runs away.
Mm.
Yeah. And she is taken, or to be taken, to the GARM.
Sounds terrifying, the GARM.
Meanwhile, computer goes, stage two sterilization must begin. And Nyssa is housed with all the... all the lepers.
Basically, everybody...
They're in bunk beds.
Everybody that works... it goes to see Robin Hood in Time Bandits. They all look like that.
Yeah.
And if they did have an arm wrestle, one would come off.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the GARM. Who's a giant German shepherd in dungarees.
It's just a fat bloke with a dog.
And also the GARM walks so pathetically. Like, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. Fact fans.
Yes, oh, yeah. Go on.
A sidebar.
Yeah.
The GARM is played by the, if you remember Superman 3.
This is brilliant.
The couple who win the holiday in Superman 3.
This is amazing.
There's a little lady and there's a fat guy with a moustache.
Yeah.
The fat guy with a moustache plays the GARM.
He's
the
GARM.
They're the ones that win the luxury holiday and then the storm happens.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And he comes back in a neck brace and an arm brace.
That's it.
So, but is the GARM meant to be like Cerberus? Is he the dog of hell?
No, he has zero threat or gravitas, afraid. Because he walks really silly.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look that threatening. He kind of looks quite cute.
He does, but he's very strong. I mean, he could absolutely tear you limb from limb.
And he is the creature that lives beyond the tape, like the forbidden area. Like, wow.
And he's got those bright red eyes.
Anyway, cut to Tegan and Turlo, still trapped in the vents, because they can't find an exit, so they're just crawling around, trying to get out. The Doctor, who's now wandering around by himself, meets a Terminus guard, who, despite having a weapon, just decides to immediately strangle the doctor. He's got a gun in his hat. Sees the doctor and goes, kill!
And just he's played by him. Sweaty Raphael.
He's Sweaty Raphael.
Sweaty Raphael, yeah. Love it.
From throw a chair at you. Yeah. He also did all the voiceovers in, is it the day to day?
Look Around You?
Look Around You, Ulrich.
Look Around You. He's, just
Look Around You is the guy from Blake 7.
Yes.
This guy did the day to day, but he also did all of the North Norfolk Radio.
He did all those.
Oily, oh boily.
Yeah. I'd like to see you sweat over your work like I sweat over mine. I don't sweat because I wear Lynx Africa.
To see you in Nuremberg.
So we cut on the end of episode 2 with the Doctor being strangled.
Yeah.
Strangled.
Terrifying. Yeah.
We begin Ep 3 with a 2-minute recap of Ep 2. Goddard, thank God for, lasers the guard, so that's helping the Doctor.
Yeah.
And the Doctor says, whatever's happening, we need to go this way. And she's like, but that way seems to denote danger. But they walk into what is now known as the Garm's Lair. Yeah.
I think maybe on paper, the Garm's Lair, probably they imagined it being quite a scary place.
Yeah.
But if I remember rightly, really what I read is that they ran out of money.
Sure.
So it's just a dark room.
It's just a dark room. Yeah. There's just nothing in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You needed like skeletons and.
Oh, there should be something in there. Yeah. Like,
it's just everything's just very sparse, isn't it? The whole thing is very sparse and very.
Like, you know, in Lord of the Rings when he goes in Shelab's lair and there's loads of gunk and skeletons.
Poo everywhere.
Just more poo.
Tarry poo.
Yeah.
And that bone sticking out of.
And you could have had a skeleton, right? And he looks down at the skeleton, and it's Barbara Woodhouse. Yeah.
Skeleton dogs on her lap.
Well, because she was trying to tame the Garm.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Mm. Walk it. And he just cuts her head off.
Yeah. Sit. He just butts her head off. Oh!
I can still see it now.
My mother.
The Garm murdering Barbara Woodhouse.
Garm murdering Barbara. Dear Barbara Woodhouse. Who I used to holiday with in the Dodoing.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have we met the guy yet? The guard who sounds like the Snagglepuss.
Right, there are four. there are four guards in this, and I get confused by all of them.
Right,
there's the nasty guard who wants to hit everyone.
He looks like Dracula.
The one who strangles the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The scientist guard who's wandered off into the Garm's Lair.
Yeah.
There's the other guard who keeps going, but if we don't get our medicine, we'll die.
Yeah.
And there's the
and then there's the boss one who's like, you're here to do a job.
Mm. If you can go and get them back, you can have mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's going to happen soon. These guards, by the way, turns out that they don't seem to be actually working for money. They're working to live.
Yeah.
Right, because there's a bit where he lifts
the corporation keeps sending them this antidote to all the lepers that they're looking after, which is a really cool idea because they just slot it into their suit. That's a really nice bit.
Lovely.
Yeah.
The antidote to the poison you just drank, Dr. Jones.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah. I like all that. Mm. Tegan and Turlough finally escape the loose grill because they've been in there for 1.5 episodes. And Nyssa is just sat with the lepers going, what's happening here? And they're like, oh, don't worry, you'll just be killed.
Mm.
And she's like, what do you mean killed? They go, they're going to take you to see the Garm. And she's like, what's that? And they're like, oh, don't worry, you're going to die anyway. So the guards now realise that their shipment of Hydromil is being thinned down by the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably think that the Doctor, he's probably part of that, that he works for the corporation.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
that's the whole mistaken identity that happens in every Doctor Who, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he's here to kill us, or that, he's here to undermine us.
That Hydromil later turned into a Monster energy drink.
Yeah, it's very good stuff as well. Yeah, I lived on Hydromil when I was doing my A-levels. So the Doctor now enters the Forbidden Zone with Goddard.
Mm-hmm.
And does he meet the Garm yet? No, he doesn't. No. He meets the enemy agents again who try and fight him.
Yes.
Valgard? Is it Valgard? Yeah, Valgard says...
Sweaty Raphael.
Valgard says, I will chase after the Doctor into the Forbidden Zone, and as you rightly said, if he does that, he'll be given the head honcho job.
Yeah,
because he's been working there.
But the guy who's sending him in there goes, well, if he goes in there, he's dead anyway, so
Win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't like him, he's sweaty.
Yeah.
Khaki Raphael. That was you as well, I just remember.
Nice to see you.
So now... to see you. Now in the Garm's Lair.
Yeah.
Thank God for Goddard. And the Doctor, meet Boar. He was the scientist who went in the first episode.
So he's the one I think you...
He's the Snagglepuss.
He's the one,
one who dogs like this, even.
Yeah. He's got like... I get that radiation, even.
Yeah. He looks a bit like Chris Langham as well.
He does look like Chris Langham.
It was him at first, and I was like...
Oh, boy.
He's sort of the good D.
He's the good D of them. He's gone in.
I could do with a D.
Oh, I could do with a D.
Is Chris Langham... Sorry, this is now off. No. Is he the one who is trying not to laugh in Life of Brian?
Yes.
He is. Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's a strange
little stickers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the reason why he's there...
He's also the one with the hammer at the top of the stairs.
Yes. The reason why he's there is actually to block the radiated entrance into Terminus.
He's made like a barricade.
He's barricaded it as best he can.
Yeah.
And he's very ill and he's quite mad.
he has succumbed or is succumbing to a highly radioactive poison.
And he hasn't had his hydromil either.
Yeah, no. He looks very
I
odd.
I could do with the hydromil. He hasn't had that, you see.
Yeah. Mm.
Valgard now catches up with them. Finds the Doctor and beats the shit out of him.
They have a good old fight, don't they? It's amazing.
Shit out of him. But then the Garm appears.
Yep.
Mm. And just picks up Bor and just walks away. We now cut to Nyssa, who's tied up.
Yeah.
Tied up. Olva appears and thinks, I'm going to save you. But then the Garm comes in. So Olva does nothing. Now the Garm carries Nyssa away.
Yeah.
Wow. Meanwhile, the Black Guardian appears and goes, once again, you have failed me, Turner. You must kill the Doctor. And Turner goes, what do you want me to do?
Do you think the Black Guardian ever got the wrong number and appeared before?
I reckon there's one where he appears in front of Maureen Lipman when she's doing the ology effort.
You have failed me,
Turner. Your son has failed his GCSE. And so you must die.
She's just in her last words, but he's got an ology.
Oh, sorry, wrong number.
Turns up the sky at night. Anyway, so if we look at Percy's major, you're losing your shit.
These games master clues have failed you. I can't complete Manic Miner.
So yeah, and to punish Turlo for not getting on with it, he makes that hot crystal go out. They make the crystal go hot in Turlo's hands.
Yeah,
Doesn't he strangle Turlo here as well?
He also strangles him,
which we now know wasn't acting. That was just literally that really
just
hot crystal that was burning.
That was actual torture.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually got a hot hand, and then Valentine actually strangled Turlo.
He took it out of his pocket, didn't it?
But that again seems to me to say if the Black Guardian can appear anywhere at any point. Just appear in front of the Doctor and just lamp him.
Appear inside the Garm.
Exactly.
Make him explode.
You might get it wrong, but just appear hanging out of his ass.
Yeah. Hello, I have made a miscalculation.
It stinks in here.
Appears in the first episode of EastEnders.
Black Guardian appears in the first episode of EastEnders. It stinks in here and you will all be punished.
I think we should get Leslie Grantham in.
Yeah. Did I say I was on the set of EastEnders the other day?
You sent us a picture, but you didn't explain why or when or how.
I was just at L Street and so I had to walk around and I went outside the Queen Vic and I did the Mike Reed, I've seen him thrown out of the Vic but never dragged in.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ask nobody what year is this?
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
So, now we get a bit of complicated, convoluted plot, which is a bit mad. Basically, this is what the Doctor finds out.
Yeah.
The Doctor finds out in the Terminus Control, which is where the Garm lives, that the Terminus itself can travel through time. But when it last did it, it jettisoned its fuel due to overpowering, which created the Big Bang. Which is why it was at the center of the universe.
That's right.
However, because of the backup engines that are now that Gore is trying to protect, Terminus will once again do the same thing. And if it does do that, it will do the reverse of the Big Bang.
Big Bang.
And will actually then destroy the
universe.
And
we've already been at the Big Bang in Castrovalva.
We've done this many times, really. But there you go. So, but again, why does a floating prison stroke clinic planet have the ability to travel through time and create big bangs? We don't worry about that. Turlo, desperate to please the Black Guardian, activates the bypass system, which is inside Terminus somewhere, I don't know. And then a countdown begins. To explode.
It's a big explosion.
To destroy everyone. End of part three.
Well, that's exciting.
End of part three. Part four! Meanwhile, Olva beats up Valgard. Whilst the best in show, I can picks up Nyssa again, Petra, and takes her on another fucking walk.
Yeah, yeah.
For no apparent fucking reason at all. But anyway, a defeated Vanguard pleads to Olva to his good nature and says, look, don't kill me, just leave me here.
Mm.
And then when Olver walks off, he's like, I'm not ill, really. Mm. And doesn't he know Olver? Or they know of each other? That I think Valgard and his guards were...
Yeah.
There's a, some tiny subplot about they also were free men at one point.
Yeah, he doesn't know him. And he knows his job because he used to do it.
That's
there you go.
And
he
got forced into this job where they've now realised that there's no money, they're struggling to... Yeah, it's something it's like that, isn't it?
They have to keep doing this job to stay alive.
Yes, he was a former space raider until he became a slave guard on Terminus.
He was the cheese flavour that they did away with.
Meanwhile, and again, this is just why, the Turlo now finds the Skull Door again.
Yeah.
And just gets back into the TARDIS.
Yeah.
You don't really know why. The primary ignition sequence starts, apparently, and that means the whole thing's going to blow up, but then is immediately aborted.
Yeah.
Fine. It's like false jeopardy, but Terminus is still in countdown. Oh, it's not Terminus. It's the ship that docked. That's what they abandoned.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Terminus is on countdown to jettison its fuel and create the second big bang. Nyssa now wakes up. Right. We have to talk about it.
Yep.
Why is she basically showing her knickers and her boobs?
Well, there's two schools of thought.
She's in a pure white room, and it looks like she's in a negligee. She's not.
There's two schools of thought about this on Wikipedia. One says that she did it as a bit of a treat for everyone, because they were sort of clothed, and then afterwards it says that they spoke to her about it in, like, 2020, and she said she was really upset about it. I'm leaning towards the latter.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like so Sarah weird Sutton. It's so strange seeing her like that.
It's very exploitative.
Yeah.
It is. And also because the nature of Nyssa's character anyway was very sort of like virginal and pure.
She's very young, isn't she? Yeah.
And also she is literally like Victorian values in the sense of she's clothed right up to the neck.
You
never see anything.
No.
And suddenly she's just sat in this quite stark white room. And, you know, to quote Jean-Luc Picard in thinking, well, and of course, I see everything. it's quite revealing.
Yeah.
It's when there's a lot of discussion about, like, who had the worst deal of the assistants.
Right.
In terms of, like, Perry is obviously up there for, like, being mistreated and leched over and everything else.
Mm.
I think people forget that Nyssa's dad was murdered, and then the man who murdered her dad puppeted his body in front of her.
Mm.
Blew up her home planet and her home universe, and then she basically got, like, space leprosy and was abandoned.
She must have sit by herself in her frilly knickers. She's in
She did kind of go out of the show.
Mm.
Right.
Almost like Audrey Hepburn and Roger Moore working for UNICEF.
Yes. You are absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tonally, her wanting to help is lovely. It's just, it's all the stuff beforehand where she's, you know...
But, you know, enjoy the lemonade, you have to have the lemons.
That is true.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, this countdown's going on. The Doctor is in the central control room of Terminus with, thank God for God, and he's trying to stop the lever from moving, but he just says, nothing on Earth can stop this.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Something really powerful to do it.
Yeah.
And Goddard goes, well, go and get the GARM then.
Well, he's got a special box that you press.
Yes.
Which the Doctor stole earlier.
The Doctor's stolen that box, which the guards use to summon the GARM, so they don't have to go through the irradiated section. Yeah.
So they press that button.
So they press the button, summon the GARM. And the Doctor then realises the guy maybe isn't as evil or weird as he's supposed to be.
He's just following orders.
He just says, how can I serve you? And then says, I will help you, but destroy that box so I don't have to always be at someone's beck and call.
Yeah.
Now, it seems to me that the GARM's sole reason for being there was to cure the people of leprosy.
Mm.
But nobody ever left Terminus because the GARM's way of curing leprosy is to give them fatal radiation poisoning.
Well, and also we find out earlier.
Why does that cure Nyssa?
It doesn't work every time. Because they basically say like 9 out of 10 people die immediately.
Right. Luckily it doesn't happen with Nyssa and she survives.
Mm. Mind you, she's not human, is she?
Oh, that's true.
Yes, maybe there's that. I don't know. Again, it's always like... She got Draken blood.
Yeah.
Anyway, the GARM.
Tell you what, I bet people's Draken was up on their videos and they kept pausing, watching her on their hands and knees. Am I right, lads?
The GARM has enough pure doggy strength.
Yes. His rubbery hands.
With
rubbery, furry hands to snap that lever back.
Thank God.
Abandoning the countdown.
Thank goodness.
So Terminus will not blow
up. Goddard and Davison really sell that lever is hard. Hard to move.
Very good.
Yeah.
So the countdown ends.
Mm.
The Doctor then says to the GARM, thank you for everything that you've done, and I'm going to set you free from Terminus control and just leave you here anyway in the shit.
He smashes the box on the floor.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Bang. Nyssa now meets up with the doc and explains actually that Terminus could actually be a proper hospital.
Yeah.
Free of the company with unlimited Adramel if it was only run right.
Yes.
And that she can synthesize it.
And she, because she was having a little bit of a tinker in her bedroom.
Yeah.
In those frilly knickers. she was having a little tinker in her bedroom with that very sort of stuff that she's very, very good at.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Space Raiders destroy the Terminus control cable.
Thank God.
Which means Terminus will now stay stationary and not travel through time.
Thank goodness.
God knows why it has to travel through time. Why it has irradiated engines that cause the Big Bang either. That just seems a bit weird.
I think
it's like Cowboy Builders, isn't it?
It's a hat on a hat, isn't it?
Yeah.
It very much is. Yeah, it very much is.
So we've had two time-travelling dignitasses.
Yes.
Tune in for next week.
Jesus Christ. Mm. So now, thinking, what the fuck can I do? Vanguard takes control of Terminus.
Yeah.
And he says, I will now become a free man, and I will work here. I'm very sorry for being a really nasty guard earlier. I've now realised the error of my ways.
He initially doubts that they can do this.
He doubts it all. Yeah.
And then Nyssa says, look, I can synthesize this, no problem. We don't need the company.
And it's done in that sort of three lines where he goes, oh, all right, they've
heard Yeah.
Imagine that way, no, I can do it. Can you? Yes. All right, I've changed my entire idea.
I'm now a nice man.
Yeah. I've now become nice.
Imagine if she said, I can synthesize this, and then like went all full Rick Wakeman. Weird, weird.
I could even do it. Woof, woof. Summon the Garm.
Yeah.
So Vanguard and whoever the guards.
You just called me a cunt.
So Vanguard and the rest of the guards now decide that not only can they stay on Terminus and do good work, they can actually maybe get to a point where they can work for some money.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a long time to do this. Mm-hmm. And the Garm may even help them. We're not sure yet. Aww. Or maybe the Garm could just go, do you know what? Fuck you, I'm going to eat you all.
Maybe.
Yeah, because you don't really know. The Garm is just not really thought about at all.
No.
He's just there and gone, isn't he? Well, there and Garm.
Yeah. I would say, as someone who visited Doctor exhibitions in their youth, the Garm was a mainstay and looks amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Because it's like 9 foot tall and it's very impressive and you go, oh, it's a Garm.
So anyway, threat seems to have been dealt with.
Yeah.
Tegan says we need to go back to the TARDIS, but warns the Doctor, Turlough's in there. And the Doctor is going, what, Turlough trying to constantly thwart me and kill me? All right, I suppose we better go find him then. So they all trudge back to this skull door. And Nyssa goes, actually, Doc, do you know what? I'm going to stay. Tegan's distraught.
Upset.
Yeah.
And there's a lovely bit where they hug each other and they cry and it's really nice.
Oh, it's lovely.
The Doctor just goes, yeah, all right, bye.
He does say to her.
He does say.
I admire you.
Though. Yeah, I admire what you're doing, because she says, I can stay here and I can turn this place around in 2 weeks.
That is something that Peter Davison's Doctor was very good at.
Yeah.
In being very, very sincere.
Yes.
John Pertwee would have done a little joke. Baker would have done a little joke. But Pep Davison was like, I admire you for being a humanitarian.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Well, you know with that in The Green Death where Pertwee has he downs his champagne and then drives off in Bessie.
Yeah.
And I've always thought it's fun if he downs a champagne, then another champagne, then another champagne.
As a strangle wanker.
Yeah. The quadrophilia.
Yeah.
Jesus. So goodbyes are said.
Oh.
It's cheerio to Nyssa.
Oh.
You've been lovely. We've loved having you on board.
Yeah.
Tegan comes back in with the Doctor.
Is that our last Nyssa? Hang on, let me check.
Must be.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, we lost Earthshock, so we still haven't redone Earthshock.
Okay. Oh, there you go. The last Nyssa we've done.
Yeah.
Need to do Earthshock.
So everyone's now back on board the TARDIS. The skull door disappears. I still don't know why that was there. Was it the Black Guardian that allowed that to happen? Again, anyway, whatever. The Doctor just leaves the room, and so does Tegan. Turlough's left by himself, picks up the crystal, and you have failed me for the 58th time. You're absolute shit. I had to appear in the middle of Country File by accident and tell John Craven to kill the Doctor. This is your last chance.
Yeah.
Hello.
Your last chance.
Last chance. Kill the Doctor. Kill the Doctor. And then it ends. And that was second part of the stage. I can't even say it. It's the Black Guardian.
The Black Guardian trilogy.
Right, okay.
What are we going to score it out of?
100
dog hands.
100 dog hands.
I mean, I can't think of anything.
Floppy dog hands.
100 floppy dog hands. Okay, well, that's where I'm going to begin.
Yeah.
I don't really like it. I don't hate it, though.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I just don't I'd like things to be explained, even if it's bollocks explained, satisfactory for me to go, okay. Even if they explain it with something like, you wouldn't understand, I'd even go for that, rather than, why is essentially either a prison or a hospital traveling through time anyway? Mm, yeah. And did they build it like that on purpose? So when it travels through time, it creates the Big Bang. Why is the Garm there? Who is the Garm?
Yeah.
But I like the whole guards there under sufferance thing. Mm-hmm. There's so much fun to enjoy with it. I don't mind it. I'm starting to get annoyed with the Black Guardian because he just turns up and goes, come on! So his threat is sort of going, is decreasing all the time. Yeah. And it's such a shame after the first one we've seen, I know it's supposed to look stark and bleh, but it's a bit grainy, grimy and depressing.
Mm. Yeah.
And it doesn't quite go, the speed of the last one, which is two-fro.
Yeah.
This one seems quite ploddy and quite static. However, it's not awful. So what are we doing? Floppy paws.
Floppy dog hands.
I'm going to give it 55.
55 floppy dog hands.
And John.
I agree. Obviously, due to budget, they couldn't do what they wanted to do. Mm. There's lots of the back of the top of the pop studios or whatever. But yeah, I'm going to give it 50.
50!
Oh, okay. Hate it, didn't love it, but I enjoyed it.
Planet fucking optimism.
Yeah. For me, this is like, Terminus is almost like a baseline Doctor Who story. Like, right. I do like it. I like the space station. I like the corridors. You know, it's all very sort of classic. I think there's some really interesting themes. I don't think, maybe they don't all coalesce perfectly into one big story, but I do really enjoy it. And I'm going to give it 65.
Oh, that's fine.
So that is 170 floppy dog hands.
Floppy dog hands. More importantly, do we have any
correspondence?
I'm glad you asked, because I was about to talk about it.
That's handy.
Tim Coleman says, AKA Mankind, or is it
Mankrel?
Nyssa finally throws her hand in, appropriate for a leper colony. Tegan's perfect summary with, you're weird, Taylor. Everyone is really trying, sadly, in both senses. 33 out of 100, Elisa Goddard's trading in Colin Baker's for Alvin Stardust. Colour Horizon Review says, Terminus, or as I like to call it, Hey Dougie, the Jagermeister years. Ben Thomas says, Terminus is an odd one, this. Lots of interesting Norse imagery and sci-fi ideas, like a malfunctioning spaceship. Sorry, causing the Big Bang and Nyssa contracting a form of leprosy that makes your skirt fall off rather than your fingers. And yet, at the end of the day, it feels very tired. Mm. There were delays caused by electrical faults and a shoddily built set, leading to long filming delays and frustration from the cast. Lisa Goddard's character was initially called Yoni until someone found out it was Sanskrit word for a female reproductive organ. Talking of which, Colin Baker was formerly married to Lisa Goddard. Turns out not being able to act can be sexually transmitted.
Come on, correspondent.
And then him and Colour Horizon View go on a filthy thread, which I'm not even going to get.
Countenance
it.
Andrew F. said, I'd like to comment on Terminus, but I've seen it at least three times now, one of which was in the last 6 months, and I can't remember a thing about it, which says it all. Martin says, Turlo's fiddling causes the TARDIS to fuse with a leper ship and a dicky engine that only a large rat thing can stop it, destroying the universe. Rat thing?
He means the Garm.
Yeah. The Black Guardian gives Turlo more chances than a game of Monopoly, whilst Nyssa stays behind on Terminus to help fix all the delirious overacting.
Mm.
Bobby Peru, in which Lisa Goddard pulls off a trick shot Jimmy White would be proud of. We meet a robot. That's when she fires the
thing and it
bounces off. Jimmy White would have done that. We meet a robot as pointless as a Tom Baker sobriety test and a fat dog-faced bloke that looks like the mascot for a League Two side. Special mention to a moving farewell performance from Nyssa's nipples.
Oh,
who put out a sterling performance throughout. Bobby Peru. Russell Parker says, so very boring. How could a story with Doctor Who's sexy lady companion type giving us a hint of her pants be dull?
Can we all blame ourselves?
He says, isn't there young Kathy Burke in there somewhere?
Oh, I believe she is one of the
lepers.
Oh, she's one of the lepers.
Yeah.
Laza. Watcher 63, the one where Tegan and Turlo locked away in film footage for two episodes. Bernie from Heartbeat and the least convincing space helmets in Flash Gordon. But the Garm is built like a brick shit house. 24 out of 100 bits of plastic armor. I'm afraid it's floppy dog hands. Mr. Jarhead says, looks like a kid's room. A great slam from Turlo when he walks into Adric's room. I imagine it had remained untouched since his death, as the Doctor likes to spend the night in there in the same way Jimmy used to do Peter and the Duchess's room.
Oh, no!
Oh, God!
Andy Parkinson says it's good to see in the future they develop space helmets to accommodate 80s big hair. Yes, it gets a kit off for no discernible reason, and there's a big fucking dog for some reason. Terrible, but not great. 61 out of 100 big knobs people keep pulling.
That's good. That's a good one.
Pippa Musgrave says, a big soft dog toy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Logan W says Terminus, an abhorrent monstrosity of dull mediocrity.
Ooh.
Prime example of a decent idea, wank execution. 20 out of 100 ridiculous looking garms.
Blimey.
Ooh. Right, Logan, calm down.
Yeah.
Logan. Colin Baker. Ben Cowdell says episode one's explosion was so loud it was heard on the 9 o'clock news, apparently. Nice story if you like grey sets and lepers. Sorry, Lazar's disease. Nyssa shares Paul's trait of inexplicably removing clothing. 65 Clifford the big grey dogs out of 100. And that's it for correspondence.
Hey!
Well, thank you so much, everyone. That is the second in our Black Guardian trilogy. We will be back very soon.
Oh, yes.
The conclusion. Of said trilogy. Until then, come on, the walls are gonna go down.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
When I saw you there with your long shaggy hair, I knew. And your big brown eyes. Said I'm looking for a boy like you. You're my dog, you're my dog, you're mine. You can count on me that you're never gonna be alone. You're the only dog that I'd ever wanna call my own.